Good morning, all. Welcome to Highland Baptist Church. I turned around and told Reba, said, of all things going on this morning, my hearing aid battery just died. So I'm listening in circles this morning. But we're glad you're here with us, and if those that are here in person, I know there's a lot of traveling, a lot of the staff are traveling, so we welcome you here, glad you're here, and for those that are online on our social media platforms, which I know nothing about, but you know, be sure to heart, like, follow, subscribe, share, and make your comments. We welcome those that are live streaming also on our phone service. If you're at home and you have access to the internet and you would like to go to our website at highlandbaptist.com, and under the info tab you can download the worship bulletin for this morning, also the children's bulletins, and you can download those and give them to your kids and have reference to the day's and to the Sunday school classes, that are lessons that are taught. And if you need them, they're in the windows for those that are here in attendance. Also, if you're here and visiting, and we have gift bags here on the right and the left, and if you're here, we'd love for you to pick up one of the gift bags, and please be sure to pick up one of those. Got some things in them I think you might like. Anyway, if you would now, please stand and join us as we sing hymn number 33, for those that like reading the words that are on the screen, but Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Miss Pat? For our missionary moment now, I want to make reference to your bulletin and ask that you please take time to read about Eva Tucker. Eva Tucker is one of our IMB missionaries. Please pray for her. She serves her Syrian refugee friends face a lot of hardships and a hopelessness in this kind of been crumbling for years, and the recent earthquakes over there hasn't helped any in the devastation to the nation that's torn apart by strife and civil war. So please pray for her and take time to read about her in your bulletin, that as she serves to meet physical and spiritual needs of the hurting people. also, as far as announcements, the waterfall slides going through now. Want to remind you about online giving, and for those that would like to, there's a place on the online platform at highlandbaptistchurch.com, and you can click on a tab for the offering tab, and it'll give you the options to share your offering. Now, those in person, you got offering envelopes in the pews, and we have collections at the front and the back and at the door. So please take that into consideration. If you're thinking about joining our church or just find more information, there's also a class being taught by Tommy upstairs, and it's the new members class. And you're highly encouraged if you want to consider coming and listen to that. It's upstairs. It starts at 9:15, and Brother Tommy will lead it. And there's four sessions, I think, or at least four lessons. And you'll receive a blessing learning about our church. Also, we're still doing the Who's Your One emphasis, and that's the blue hanging on the cross here. And you can fill in a name on that blue tab, tear it off, and also you have the white to carry with you that will be able to go through the month praying and spend time praying for that individual. Also, there's the YouVersion app, and again, that's something you can, that's just specifically for our church, and don't forget about that, and Psalms Bible reading plan, part of that as we'll go through the month. Also, I think that's the commercial for now. So take your hymnals and turn with us as we sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And if you had your hymn open, it's next page. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story,
and now for the next, before we sing the next song, which is Solid Rock, hymn 406, Children's Church will be meeting over at the piano side. So let's all stand and sing 406, the Solid Rock. 406.
Sweetest ring, but holy name on Jesus. Christ's day. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, I then in him will be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand.
We want to welcome Mark Puckett, Brother Mark Puckett, here this morning, and we're anxious to hear what God has given him to share with us. Brother Mark?
Always a delight to be with you here at Highland. And as we think about that last song that we sang, that first verse said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." That is a profound line. Mike said to me before we were talking before the service started, he said, "If you want to know good doctrine, listen to the hymns." And that's an example right there of where our hope is found, Jesus' blood and righteousness. About 25 years ago, I was attending a conference in Birmingham, Alabama, and we sang a song that I had never heard before. I've been in church since 9 months in the womb, and my wife Linda said she had never heard the song either, and the person who was leading the music gave no introduction or context to the song. And this particular phrase that I was not familiar with kept being repeated in every verse of the song. And so it had me stumped as to what that meant, because I just was not familiar with that phrase 25 years ago. And so when the conference was over and I had opportunity to look it up, I did, and found that that phrase was from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, and that's where we're going to start our scripture journey this morning, is from Jeremiah chapter 23. And here's what that says. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." So we sang just a moment ago, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 says that the hope of Israel is one whose name is the Lord our righteousness. And this song, this mystery song that I was referring to, was called Yahweh Tsidkenu. Yahweh Tsidkenu. Those are the Hebrew words used here in our Jeremiah passage, which translate as the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh is the holy name of God that he gave Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. And then Tsidkenu is the Hebrew word for righteousness. So Yahweh Tsidkenu means the Lord our righteousness. If you need help remembering how to pronounce that, here's your pronunciation guide on how to pronounce Tsidkenu, Yahweh Tsidkenu. You know, the idea of righteousness is one of the most important ideas in all of Scripture. And the fact that God is righteous. In fact, Psalm 145:17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does." Think about that verse again. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. So from this verse, I want to propose to you a definition for us for the remainder of our time of what it means for God to be righteous. And this is my definition. Everything that God thinks, says, and does is right. Everything that God thinks, says, and does is right. Now, I've been married for 41 years, and I've been trying to convince my wife for 41 years that this defines me. She has not bought that yet. I'm still working on it. I know Mike has Reba convinced. You're convinced of that, right, Reba? I wish you could see her face. But it doesn't describe us, but it does describe God. Everything God thinks, says, and does is right. And so when we look at Jeremiah 23:5-6, I want us to look through this verse again, particularly at the active clauses in the two verses. I will raise a branch of righteousness. He shall reign and prosper, execute justice and righteousness. Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. He will be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, the phrase used here, Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, is one of those phrases that gets called a name of God. We're familiar with a number of phrases in the Old Testament in particular that are called names of God. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. El Shaddai, God Almighty. The list goes on. There are a number of different terms that are called names of God, and this is one of those, Yahweh Tsidkenu. But actually, in this particular passage, this usage is God speaking about someone else. So look at it one more time. I will raise, that's God speaking, I will raise a branch of righteousness. God is talking about something he's going to do with someone else. He, third person pronoun, not first person pronoun. He shall reign and prosper. He shall execute judgment and righteousness. He will be called the Lord our righteousness. So if this phrase is a name of God, and God is the only one who is righteous, then what in the world and who in the world is God talking about when he talks about that he's going to raise up this righteous branch. He is going to raise up one who will be called the Lord our righteousness. Well, the answer to this can be found through tracing a number of different passages of Scripture, but we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11, because this is one of the most significant. In Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, we have an agricultural metaphor. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Have you ever cut down a bush or a tree or severely pruned it? And within weeks, perhaps, definitely within months, you've got branches and leaves are coming back out. I remember in front of Life Care on Jackson a few years ago, they have a whole row of trees, and I love trees. And one day I drove down Jackson, and every one of those trees had been cut off to nothing but a stump. And I was like, oh, what have they done to all the trees? But if you drive down there now, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see a bunch of trees full of leaves and all grown out again. In our Isaiah passage, when he talks about the stump of Jesse, Jesse is the father of King David. And King David was promised that he would always have a descendant on the throne of Israel. But 400 years later, after rebellious king, God said, no, we're done. And God sent the Babylonians, who destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed Solomon's temple, carried the people away into exile, and brought an end to the reign of David's descendants over Israel and Judah. That's the tree that was cut down to a stump. But Isaiah says there's going to be new life come from that stump. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. With righteousness, he will judge the needy. What did it say? With righteousness. Ah, there's our word again. With righteousness, he will judge the needy. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. So twice in that short passage, the word righteousness is used to describe this branch that is going to spring forth from the stump of Jesse, from David's line. This is describing the promised Messiah. This is describing who we know to be Jesus, the descendant of David, the one who would sit on David's throne for all eternity in glory. Righteousness will be his belt. So when Jeremiah quotes God as saying, I'm going to raise up a righteous one, I'm going to bring a branch of righteousness, Jeremiah is also talking about the promised one, the Messiah to come, Jesus. He would be the one who would be righteous, but also the one who would bring us righteousness. Because he is righteous, but we are not. In Isaiah 64:6, Isaiah says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." The best that we can do is despicable compared to the righteousness of God. Romans 3:10 says, "There is no one righteous, no, not one." And 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Christ on the cross took our place, paying the sin debt that we owed because of our unrighteousness. He was the only one who could pay our debt because he was the only one who was righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, so that through our faith in him, our belief in who he is and what he has done for us, through him we might have the righteousness of God. So 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "You were ransomed." That means bought out of slavery. You were ransomed. The debt that we owed was paid. You were ransomed, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. Our metaphor here shifts, and now we're introducing the metaphor of a lamb. And so we're taken back once again into the Old Testament, where the people offered sacrifices of lambs and bulls and goats for their sin. But the book of Hebrews tells us that no amount of animal sacrifice can take away our sin. So if no amount of animal sacrifice can take away our sin, why did they offer literally thousands and tens of thousands of animal sacrifices over the years in the Old Testament? You see, all those sacrifices were not bringing forgiveness of sin, but they were painting a picture for the people of the Old Testament. They were helping them understand a truth that they needed to understand in order that their sin might be forgiven through the promised one to come. And so we've already said that on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin. And in the Old Testament, every time one of those people brought an animal to be sacrificed on the altar at the tabernacle or at the temple, they were looking forward to the one who could bring them forgiveness of sin. That animal was just a picture reminder of the true sacrifice that God would provide one day. And so their sacrifice was not a work. Their sacrifice was an act of faith in the promised one to come. They were looking forward to the cross. Today, we look back to the cross and put our faith in that same one who paid the price for our sin on the cross. They were looking forward to the cross. We're looking back to the cross, but everyone to be saved, to have forgiveness of sin, must look to the cross. John 1:29, when Jesus was approaching John the Baptist at the Jordan River, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus had not even begun his teaching ministry yet, but John the Baptist understood already what this was all about and the significance of the one who was coming to him that day and what that one, who that one would be and what he would do to pay for our sin as the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. So 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." Here again, we're tying in our Old Testament pictures. And just as in Egypt, on the night of the Passover, the people were to sacrifice a lamb and put blood on the doorposts of their house so that the angel of death would pass over them, Paul describes Jesus as our true Passover lamb who delivers us from death and the grave and sin and hell. Our association and the Duck River Baptist Association has had a mission partnership with Taiwan for 11 or 12 years now. If you're not familiar with Taiwan, Taiwan is a large island off the coast of China. The people there are Chinese. They speak Chinese. The culture is Chinese. And one of the things that we learned in our time there over the years is there's a fascinating historical and cultural and linguistic tie between the Chinese language and the Bible. If you'll go to the next slide, please. You're used to seeing symbols like this if you see the Chinese language in print anywhere. And in the Chinese language, it is different from English in that they do not have an alphabet. Every individual word has its own symbol. That makes it a very difficult language to learn as a non-native speaker, because you don't just have an alphabet to learn, you have hundreds of individual words, each with their own symbol to learn. But beyond what I call the base words, they only have a certain number of words that have their own symbol, and then after that, they built their vocabulary by combining different combinations of words to create new words. And so, for example, what you're looking at is a word, if it's a combination of two different symbols that I'll get to in just a second. But what's fascinating is there are a number of Chinese words that are very ancient because they have ancient records of these words, thousands of years old. That there's no explanation for how the Chinese came up for these particular words without reference to the Bible. So, for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you one example before I talk about this one. The Chinese word for ark, like Noah's Ark, the Chinese word for ark is a combination of three words. It is the symbol for eight, the number eight, people, and boat. Eight people on a boat. How many people were on the ark? Eight. Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three daughter-in-laws. Eight people were on the ark. How do you come up with that without the Bible? Woo! That's wild. Now, here's another fascinating one. When you look at this symbol, go to the next slide, please. The top symbol is the symbol for lamb. The bottom symbol is the symbol for me. Lamb over me. What word do you think that they get from that? Next, the word righteousness. Righteousness comes from the lamb over me. Isn't that cool? The lamb over me equals righteousness. Next. In this slide, the symbol on your top left is the symbol for God. The symbol on your top right, I've separated out the two parts of our previous symbol. That's the lamb. So that is representing Jesus for us in my illustration. So we have the symbol for God, we have the symbol for Jesus or the lamb, and then at the bottom is the symbol for me. Scripture says your iniquities have separated you from your God. Because of our sin, we are cut off, separated, disenfranchised, alienated, estranged, whatever other adjectives you want to use, from a relationship with the Heavenly Father who created us in the beginning. Next slide. But because of the Lamb, when we put our faith in Jesus, He brings us back into relationship with the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness that we don't have, that Jesus has, becomes ours when we put our faith in Him as the perfect Lamb of God, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sin and to restore us into the relationship with God that we were created for in the very beginning. Next. If you go to Charlotte, North Carolina, to the Billy Graham Library, Billy Graham and his wife Ruth are both buried there on the grounds of the library. And this is a picture of her tombstone. Ruth Bell Graham was born in 1922 in China. Her parents were missionaries in China. And they spent many years there. Ruth grew up her entire life there. In fact, she had planned on remaining as a missionary in China as an adult, but after World War II, the communists overran the country and all the Christians were run out of the country, and she and her parents had to leave as well. But growing up in China, being immersed in Chinese culture, knowing the Chinese language, she had come to understand and know the significance of this symbol. Can you see the symbol on the top of her tombstone there? That's the same symbol we've been looking at. The symbol for the Lamb over me, the symbol for righteousness. Ruth Bell Graham understood who that Lamb was and her need for the Lamb in her life, her need to have the Lamb over me. And she even wanted it on her tombstone as a last reminder to everyone else that we all need the Lamb over us. After walking the grounds and seeing that, Linda and I were in the gift shop. You know, you can't have a tourist attraction without a gift shop. And we were in the gift shop, and guess what they had? They had a necklace. I know you can't see it very well from where you are, but this is a necklace that has the symbol in Chinese of the Lamb over me. And Linda, as a woman, actually wears hers. I don't wear this, but I keep this box sitting on my desk in my home as a reminder. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Romans 3:22 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, all who put their hope in the Lamb over me. The famous British pastor Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s said, when we believe in Christ, by faith we receive our justification. As the merit of his blood takes away our sin, so the merit of his obedience is imputed to us, that means credited to us, is credited to us for righteousness. We are considered, as soon as we believe, as though the works of Christ were our works. God looks on us as though that perfect obedience had been performed by ourselves. the picture Spurgeon is painting is that one day we will stand before a perfect, holy, righteous God, and he will say, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" And when he looks at us, we will have nothing to offer in answer to that. But if our faith has been in the Lamb, if our faith has been in Jesus, if we have trusted him as our Savior and forgiver and Lord, then it will be the righteousness of Jesus that God will see over us. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Question this morning is, what are you wearing? I'm not concerned about whether your clothes are from Penney's or Macy's or Dillard's, but where are your robes of righteousness? Our song ended on the last verse. I don't know if you caught it or not, but it ended in the same theme with which it began. "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found." Just like Isaiah just said, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Let's pray. Father, we confess that we have no righteousness of our own. We are sinful, we are fallen, we are broken, we are selfish, we are self-centered. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us in this mess. We thank you for Jesus, our perfect, spotless Passover lamb. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to pay the price, an incredible price, a painful price. You were willing to pay the price for our sin. You were willing to pay the price that we might stand before your Father in your righteousness. For that, we thank you. Lord, for each one of us who has made that commitment, who's made that decision, who has put the Lamb over me, may we be ever mindful every day of the great price you paid for us. And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who has never made this commitment, never made this decision, never come to Jesus in faith, seeking forgiveness of sin. May today be the day. May right now be the moment. Where they seek the Lamb over themselves. Lord, speak to us through your Holy Spirit in this moment. Draw us to yourself. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If there's a decision right now the Lord's putting on your heart, I invite you to come as we sing.
Brother Mark, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. The Lord our righteousness, Yahweh's Tsidkenu. If you don't come of a Sunday morning and walk away learning something from not just Brother Jim, but Brother Mark, you've been asleep. I pray this week you have a wonderful week, and as Jonathan comes and shares with us as Deacon of the Week, come let us know, Jonathan, what's going on.
Just a reminder, the nominating committee is meeting this Wednesday night at 5:15, and also tonight is our first full night of WANA classes starting at 5:30. And as mentioned earlier, the new member class, please sign up for that. There's plenty of room, and you'll learn a lot about our church and our ministries through that class. Brother Tom would be glad to have you in that class. Prayer concerns, Brother George Duncan has been moved to a skilled rehab nursing facility in Franklin, Tennessee. Lee Stevenson, he has ongoing medical issues. Please keep him in your prayers. The family of Jennifer Williams and the passing of her dad and her son-in-law, Kimmy's husband, please be with that family. And Susan Solomon has a broken ankle. Are there any other prayer requests right now? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Say again, please. Oh, yeah, there's no service tonight, so please keep that in mind as you spend time with your families. We'll look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Brother Mark and the message that he brought us today, Lord. And please help for that to resonate with us and carry us through, Lord, and for us to walk in your righteousness each and every day. If you guide us in all that we do, Lord, for us to glorify you. Please be with us and forgive us where we have failed you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.